you're now going to be able to do that with Alaska Miles. So I think most people can agree that that is a huge improvement to the program. Hello, hello. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it may be, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Drop podcast. Today, it is going to be just me here as Megan and I record a whirlwind of episodes before our travel schedules get pretty crazy. So today, I am going to talk about a pretty major shakeup in the points and miles world, which involves two separate pieces of news. The first one hasn't happened yet, but by the time you listen to this, it will have happened. And that is the fact that Bilt Rewards has added Alaska Airlines Mileage Plan as their latest and greatest, maybe not greatest, but their latest transfer partner. So you can now transfer Bilt Rewards to Alaska Airlines at a 1-to-1 ratio, which is very exciting. And the reason it's so exciting is because, well, Alaska also just launched some pretty major changes to their loyalty program that offer quite a bit of value and turn Alaska Airlines into sort of a standard household program, much like the other programs out there. And the fact that we can now access that program with transferable points means, I mean, very good things, I think. So I'm going to tell you all about those changes, give you some examples of how you can get extra value from Alaska Airlines miles and why you might want to consider opening up the Bilt card or just dedicating some more time and effort to racking up Bilt points so that you can make use of these great sweet spots. So there's not much to tell you on the Bilt front. I think the fact that Alaska Airlines is now a partner means not only are we going to just have general one-to-one access to Alaska Airlines miles, but it means that down the road, maybe a future Bilt rent day will involve Alaska Airlines. So if you sort of have a stockpile of Bilt points or you're starting to accumulate them, keep your eyes open over the next couple months, because if there's an elevated transfer bonus to Alaska Airlines, I think this is a pretty exciting partnership. So I have a feeling Bilt will want to do something exciting to kick it off. I can see them totally doing a rent day promotion. So that's something to keep your eyes on. But let's focus more on Alaska Airlines as a program. Alaska has always been a pretty good program. They've had a lot of good sweet spots, especially between the U.S. and Asia, where you can book really nice world-class business class and first-class seats for relatively few miles. The problem has been a few things. First of all, it's harder to earn Alaska Airlines miles. They do have co-branded credit cards, so that's probably the way most people have gotten Alaska miles up to this point. Obviously, flying with Alaska, using their shopping portal, those are ways to rack up some miles. But there's been no way to just transfer points to them, which is kind of a bummer. Additionally, their program has been fairly limited. So while they did have a handful of nice sweet spots, it's also been kind of unclear. Pricing has been pretty unpredictable. They were very limited in terms of which airlines you were able to redeem miles to fly with, not able to combine various partner airlines. Travel was restricted to certain zones. It was a very inflexible program, whereas now, as I'll tell you about, it's much more flexible and much more sort of standardized like many of the other programs out there. So if you didn't know, Alaska Airlines is part of the One World Alliance, meaning they have access to all of the normal One World partners like British Airways, Cathay Pacific, Qatar Airways, American Airlines. All of these airlines are now going to be bookable with Alaska Miles. So they're opening up global award space with their partners. And that is a big change. It sort of puts it on par with a lot of the other airlines, like with Delta and SkyTeam, American Airlines and Oneworld, United Airlines and Star Alliance. Generally speaking, when you have miles with an airline in one of these alliances, you can usually use miles for most or all of the other airlines in the same alliance. That is now going to be true with Alaska, which is very exciting. But in addition to Oneworld Airlines, Alaska has some non-alliance partners as well. For example, Starlux Airlines, the Taiwanese airline, which is a really nice sort of higher-end airline with a solid first-class and business-class product. They do fly between the U.S. and Taiwan. They're even adding more routes to the U.S. as well. That is one of the only, Alaska Airlines is one of the only ways you can actually book that airline with points and miles. So that's a very valuable partnership. You can also use points with Aer Lingus, Condor, the German airline, LATAM, the South American airline, Singapore Airlines, which is a Star Alliance airline, and yet they are a partner of Alaska. So lots of great partners here, in addition to the One World partners that we can now book with Alaska Airlines miles. But I think the biggest change to the program is the introduction of award charts. And Alaska has a handful of new award charts, which will basically tell you the base, the starting point of pricing for various awards based on distance. So the first chart is within the US and the Americas. So if you're flying domestic flights in the US and between the US and, say, the Caribbean, Central America, South America, that's chart number one. Chart number two is Asia Pacific, which includes flights between the US and Asia. And then finally, we have Europe, Africa, and the Middle East, which also includes flights between the US and those regions. So fairly straightforward, just at three charts is pretty easy to wrap your mind around. You just got to keep in mind that when you're flying between the US and those regions, you need to use the chart for those regions, not the chart for the US. That's the only little thing to keep in mind. But there are some great sweet spots there. And not just sweet spots, but more predictable pricing. So this is great because if you're looking to book a specific trip, you can now sort of map out an itinerary, change things around as necessary to get them to fit into the chart as you need it, and know how many points you're going to need to book that itinerary, and then earn and transfer points accordingly, which, again, is a great tactic for just travel hacking in general. And the fact that we can now apply that to Alaska Airlines, I think, is a net positive, despite losing a handful of really good sweet spots. But with the elimination of some sweet spots, we get some new sweet spots into the program. So, for example, you can travel between the Middle East and South Asia using the Asia Pacific award chart on Qatar Airways, which is a One World airline, which means Q Suites, which is amazing. You can fly between Doha and Mumbai, India, right, which clocks in at just under 1,500 miles, which according to the award chart means we can fly in Q Suites for a solid 4 hours for just 15,000 Alaska miles. So again, this world-class product, the seat that everybody in the world wants to book and fly on, you don't need to fly 14 hours from the US to Doha to experience it. You can book this short hop for just 15,000 miles. That means 15,000 built rewards can get you in Q Suites if you play your cards right, which is a great deal. And for reference, Qatar Airways on that exact flight charges more than double that. They charge 32,500 Avios to fly that same Q Suite flight. So again, Alaska Airlines here coming in, slashing that price in half from Qatar's own program, which is great. If you are not traveling around Asia and the Middle East, that's okay, because domestic flights in the US start at just 4,500 Alaska miles. And that's pretty generous because that covers flights up to 700 miles in distance. And that also covers partner awards, aka American Airlines, which you can book with Alaska miles. So theoretically, you can book, let's say, Philadelphia to Atlanta, which clocks in under 700 miles in distance for just 4,500 Alaska miles. That is even less than the base rate that American Airlines charges for their own flight. They charge around 7,000 miles for that exact flight. So again, Alaska coming in and undercutting partner airlines from their own program's award pricing. And even if you're taking longer flights in the US on either American or Alaska, the rates are just very, very generous. And the fact that you can book domestic flights for under 5,000 miles on a good day, I mean, at the worst, on a good day, it could even be better than that if maybe they're having a transfer bonus or an award sale or something. So that's very generous. Taking us back to other sweet spots, though, Cathay Pacific, another One World airline, another world-class airline, and a really highly sought-after business-class product on their wide-body planes, you can also unlock Cathay Pacific business class for very cheap. For example, you can fly from Hong Kong, which is where they're based, to Phuket, Thailand. Again, that's like a four-hour, five-hour flight in Cathay Pacific business class for just 15,000 Alaska miles, because again, that clocks in under 1,500 miles in distance. And according to the chart, that means we can book that for just 15,000 miles. So lots of opportunities to fly domestic flights for good value, fly world-class business class products and even first class products for a fraction of the price of what a lot of other programs charge and even what these airlines' own programs charge. So again, I think the addition of these charts, despite eliminating some of the former sweet spots, make pricing more predictable and have introduced some other pretty exciting sweet spots, at least in my opinion. So another, this is not really an update as much as a nothing is changing, but it's still going to be a net positive, let me tell you. So stopovers, one of the cool benefits of Alaska's program, and this has been a thing for a while now, you can add a stopover for free in a partner airline hub as long as you're flying between regions. For example, if you're in the US, you can fly on Japan Airlines, another oneworld airline, from the US to Tokyo to maybe somewhere in Southeast Asia, Bangkok, let's say, and add a free stopover in Tokyo. And that is a benefit that not a lot of other airline programs offer, free stopovers. And because earlier I mentioned that global award redemptions are opening up, so various oneworld partners and non-alliance partners are now going to be bookable with Alaska Miles, that means now those free stopovers, which are still going to be allowed, are going to be available to use in more places around the world. So I think it's a net increase in value to this program, even though the policy itself is just staying the same. Stopovers will still be allowed in partner hubs, but now we have more access to partners, and therefore we have access to more stopovers for free on award tickets, which is excellent. Okay, moving on. One of the other sort of drawbacks to the Alaska program thus far has been the fact that you cannot combine partner airlines on a single award ticket. This is something that I do all the time with, I guess, Aeroplan for the most part, where I'll book a complex, multi-city, multi-country, months-long itinerary, mixing and matching partner airlines all around the world, Star Alliance partners in that case. It's one of the reasons I value Aeroplan so highly, because I can fly from Canada to Japan on Air Canada, and then fly ANA to Singapore, and then Singapore Airlines to Bangkok, and then Thai Airways to India, and then Air India to Dubai, and then Emirates from Dubai to like Africa, and then Ethiopian Airlines within Africa. It's just so, so flexible how you can mix and match partners like that. As of now, you still cannot do that with Alaska, but they have confirmed that that is going to be a thing. It's actually a tech issue that they have right now. They are going to allow that with their program. Right now, they're figuring out how to make their tech allow for that, and they have confirmed that sometime in 2024, that will be a thing. And that is going to be a game changer, because much like the situation I just described to you, being able to mix and match partner awards on a single ticket means that we can book more complex, maybe around the world itineraries or just multi-city itineraries within a region, mixing and matching partners between regions, adding some free stopovers in those regions, utilizing sweet spots in the award chart with multiple airlines on a single ticket. And it's just going to, in my mind, increase in value, increase the program in value. That probably doesn't apply to everyone, but even if you're trying to do something fairly straightforward, like maybe fly somewhere in Europe and you're going to fly American Airlines from the US to London and then British Airways, a oneworld airline, to somewhere else in Europe. Just a very simple routing. You're now going to be able to do that with Alaska Miles. So I think most people can agree that that is a huge improvement to the program and something that can offer anyone traveling internationally significantly more value and flexibility. So if we combine all of these elements together, we're looking at now more partners available. We'll be able to combine those partners together. Alaska allows free stopovers, so we'll be able to add stopovers in more places and pair up various award tickets utilizing some of those sweet spots in their brand new award charts. So all of these elements work really well together to just make Alaska a really appealing program. And we can transfer points to that really appealing program now because of Bilt's addition of Alaska as a transfer partner. So a couple other things to keep in mind. They're opening up even more types of awards on some airlines. For example, I think on Japan Airlines and American Airlines, You'll now be able to book premium economy awards, which is great. That was not possible with Alaska Miles before. And they have some kind of unique sort of unique situations that they've thought of and adjusted their award pricing accordingly. For example, Iceland Air is one of their partner airlines. And if you've never flown Iceland Air, it's a pretty bare bones operation. They don't have any particularly nice or exciting planes, but they do have business class seats. But those business class seats are more akin to a like European short haul business class, or maybe think of it like a domestic first class in the US type of thing, or like a premium economy. It's not quite up to par with a normal business class when you're traveling between continents. So Alaska knows this, they're aware of it. And instead of pricing Iceland Air business awards with the business award chart pricing, they actually price it as premium economy because the seat itself is just not up to par with other business class products. This is something that you don't see ever with airlines. Like, business class is business class. If Iceland Air is selling it as business, then it's going to be priced as business as an award. Not with Alaska. They have come up with this really fair, just well thought out pricing model. So you can fly from the US to Europe via Reykjavik, Iceland, for just 35,000 Alaska miles in business class. And like I said earlier, Alaska allows for free stopovers in its partner hubs, which means you can fly from the US to Iceland, spend a week in Iceland on a free stopover, and then continue on to Europe, all in business class, for 35,000 Alaska miles. And that is a fantastic deal, even though, of course, like, this is not crazy, lie flat beds. Don't think of Emirates business class or a British Airways business class or anything like that. It's not quite up there, but it's very comfortable. It's a great business class. You're flying in comfort. You get lounge access and a free stopover in Iceland, 35,000 miles. It's really another example of an excellent sweet spot and a really thoughtful addition to the program. I think that a lot of people were worried with this announcement because Alaska announced this in November or December of last year that there would be pretty major changes to the program. People were worried that it was going to be sort of a general devaluation of the program, which usually it is. Some people might still think that because some of the sweet spots, like business and first class awards from the US to like Asia, some of them have even like doubled in mileage cost, which is obviously not great. But I think it's pretty clear that the program overall is now more flexible and more useful. And to me, that is more valuable than a handful of very specific sweet spots, because now this is a program we can all use globally, especially given that we have transfer partner access. So that's the general gist of what's happened. I'm very excited about this. I'm definitely going to consider putting some more effort into earning built points. I could see myself booking some really fascinating itineraries, trying out some world-class products with those sweet spots that I mentioned to you earlier, like the Q Suites one. And so if you have built points, maybe give it a couple months and check out, see if they have a rent day promotion to launch this Alaska partnership and maybe get a nice transfer bonus. Or if you're just looking at your upcoming trips abroad or within the US, definitely check out the award charts. Definitely give it a search on their website for some of those cheap domestic deals if you're traveling around the US. And yeah, if you have any specific questions or if you think I left anything out or any comments or you want to hear more about this type of award chart sort of program benefits analysis with another program, let me know by emailing us at podcast@dailydrop.com and we can think about incorporating that into a future episode. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you all enjoy this new transfer partner and the new and improved Alaska Airlines program. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.